Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Meet Your Sweet Relationship Help Podcast. I'm your host, Mirabelle Summers. We've got a very fascinating guest today. Our guest is relationship and sexuality expert David Ben Eric. David is the founder of the Stealth Hypnosis System, which he says can help you learn how to gain the skills and confidence needed to become more attractive to the opposite sex. So we are going to be learning some things today that we've not talked about before here on Meet Your Sweet. And he's going to talk to us about how hypnosis can be used to your advantage in getting everything from the woman of your dreams to a new job. So, David, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mirabelle. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, thanks so much. I'm so excited about this topic today. But let's start with something pretty basic. Let's start by defining hypnosis and perhaps debunking some of the myths that are associated with it. Because when I hear the word hypnosis, one of the most common images that pops up into my mind is that image of someone swinging a pocket watch or something similar in front of someone's face, like a pendulum, trying to put them under, so to speak. So is that a good example of hypnosis? And what is it?
Well, it's a very common misconception that you need, in order to go into hypnosis, that you need to have, you know, this guy with the swinging watch, although nowadays in modern times, we just hit them over the head with our cell phones and they go right out. The truth of the matter is hypnosis, if you have, you know, 20 different experts hypnosis experts in a room, and you ask each of them what hypnosis is, they will each give you, more often than not, very, very different explanations or concepts of what they define as hypnosis. Our working definition, especially from the school of hypnosis and mental disciplines that I come from and that have become my school, we have a very simple, very basic working definition of what constitutes hypnosis. And that is simply this. Hypnosis is any process that has the capacity to bypass the critical factor of the conscious mind and create within the subject or subjects a state of acceptable selective thinking. Now, in layman's terms, what does that really mean? It really means that for a brief moment in time, we take your desire, willingness, and or ability to analyze, rationalize, criticize, and judge, and we send it out for pizza. You know, we just kind of put it off on a shelf somewhere so we can engage your imagination, so we can talk to that part of you that has access to every other part of you, that's in charge of your long-term memory, your emotions, what's true and what you constitute as being true and right in your world. Those are all parts of your unconscious mind. Now, another thing to understand about hypnosis as we define it, or another way to think about hypnosis, is any process that leads to trance. Well, what is a trance? A trance has two components, Mirabelle. It's absorption in the experience combined with a continually narrowing focus of attention. If you have those two components, which, by the way, are pretty much in every human experience, you have what we call a trance state. To the degree of absorption and focus that you have what hypnotists commonly refer to as depth of trance. Depth of trance does not mean you're unconscious. It does not mean you're a vegetable. It does not mean that you're not going to remember things.
So that means you're not going to have me clucking like a chicken or quacking like a duck?
I charge extra for that. But if you really want to cluck like a chicken, I probably don't have to hypnotize you to do it. But you ask a very common point. Many people believe that, you can't be hypnotized to do things against your will. That is true enough to be true. It takes a tremendous amount of skill, and usually it doesn't work anyway if you try to get people to do things against their will. However, many times in your belt, what the things that people really want to do will shock you. So it's interesting that, you know, those things are, you know, what people really want to do versus what they say they don't want to do is usually where you can get people to do some pretty amazing things. But be that as it may, one of the things that we need to understand about hypnosis, and especially about the kind of hypnosis that we're talking about, is we're talking about emotional engagement. We're not talking about turning you into some kind of flesh robot or turning you into some kind of mindless slave or anything like that. In fact, what we want you to think about in terms of hypnosis is, I'll bet at some point you were a little girl, Maribel. Have you ever been a little girl?
A long time ago, but yes, at one point in time, I was a little girl.
And I'll bet when you were a little girl, you played pretend, didn't you?
Oh, yes. And I still play pretend sometimes as an adult.
And that's, again, where we can start to bridge what we're going to talk about today into the other applications that I've given you. I've interviewed with you on several things, and we can talk about how that all applies. But the fact is, when you were a little kid, and I bet, just a little quick question, were you a tomboy or a tomgirl?
I was a tomboy.
And when you played pretend as a tomboy, what did you love to pretend? What did you love to do?
Cops and robbers.
Cops and robbers? Okay. And were you a cop or a robber?
I was the cop, always.
You were always the one with the handcuffs. All right.
Always the one with the handcuffs.
Now,
nothing wrong with that.
Right on. Now, did you often, I'm assuming you had a group of kids that you played with, true?
I did.
Okay. But did you also, were there also times, like when you're in the backyard or out in the front yard, where you kind of played pretend by yourself?
Oh, yes, yeah. Definitely.
And when you played pretend by yourself, did you play cops and robbers or something different?
No, something different. I would be a fairy princess a lot of times. The wonderful thing about it is I could be whatever I wanted to be in that moment. But most of the time I was a princess, which I guess is a very stark contrast to that cop that I usually play.
Tells us some interesting things about your internal world versus your outer world, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, now that you mention it.
Okay. Now, here's the cool thing, Maribel. Whether you're playing cops and robbers with your friends and you're pretending, or you're that fairy princess. But going back to that fairy princess time when you were by yourself, I'll bet as a fairy princess, you had servants and you had other imaginary friends that you talked to and you had conversations with, and they had conversations with you. Would that be true?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely. You know my childhood pretty well, David. That's a little scary.
Here's the best part. Whether you're playing cops and robbers with your friends or you're playing fairy princess on your own, when you were a cop, when you were playing a cop and you picked up that little toy gun or whatever it was you were using to arrest the bad guys, you knew, even as a child, that that toy that you picked up, whether it was a stick or whether it was a toy gun or whatever, that it was only a toy, that it was only a stick for the first 5 minutes. And the longer you engaged in that process, in just a few moments, it was no longer a toy gun or a stick. It was a real gun, and there were real bad guys shooting at you, and you were arresting them and protecting the public. And as a fairy princess, I'm pretty sure when you invited people to tea and to sit down and meet Prince Charming, that when you began to play, you knew you were just playing for the first 5 minutes. And then you became completely absorbed in that experience. And all of a sudden, these imaginary friends are talking to you, you're talking to them, you're having full-blown conversations, and you're seeing them and hearing them and actually many times feeling them.
Wow. That's such a good point. So you're saying that that bridge, that imagination that I was utilizing to have these experiences, and that you mentioned earlier when you were explaining to us the foundation of hypnosis, that's what plays such a role in that trance and hypnosis?
Absolutely. And this is why we need to really talk about these kinds of experiences, because what many people think of as hypnosis isn't, as nearly is very limiting, and it tends to scare people. But the truth of the matter is, when you were playing your fairy princess and you were interacting with all of your imaginary friends, were you asleep?
No, I was very much awake.
Were you out of control in any way?
No, not at all.
Were you having a ball?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Okay, that's hypnosis. That's trance. That's absorption in the experience combined with a narrowing focus of attention. You were completely absorbed in that experience, but you were focused on everything within that experience, to the point where I'm betting that if your mom called you for lunch, she had to call you several times or maybe even come get you physically because you were so wrapped up in what you were doing.
That's very, very true. Very true. So you're saying that this absorption into the imaginary world that was done, you said, in a sort of a trance-like state, is also something that can help guys become more attractive to women?
Absolutely. 100% without a doubt.
Okay, I got to hear more about this. And I'm sure the guys that are out there tuned in, they really want to know how they can parlay those experiences that they have into making them more attractive.
Well, there's actually several ways, and hopefully I'll touch on as many of them as I can, and then I'll let you pick the one you want to go deeper on, because I know with even as much as I want to give all the guys this information, our time is limited together. But let's start with the first one, fantasy. Fantasy, first and foremost, every woman is moving through the world with a checklist that constitutes the ideal lover, the ideal partner in her world. And she's moving through the world, projecting that outward onto everyone she meets. And one of the things that she's doing is whenever she interacts with a man, she's comparing him to that checklist. If a man knows what to look for and he knows how to talk to a woman, he can match that checklist and engage her imagination. And when he engages her imagination, he becomes the person that fits that template. Not only that, he becomes tremendously more interesting and compelling. She starts to have fantasies about him. If a man understands some of the special language techniques that we teach in stealth, everything that comes out of his mouth creates a deeper, more powerful experience and absorption in conversation. You become a very, very fascinating, very, very charismatic, compelling person to talk to. So anything that comes out of your mouth generates at a neurological level those feelings of that you had, like when you were in that wonderful imaginative state. Remember those feelings?
Oh yeah.
When you start to speak using these stealth patterns that we're going to talk about, easily and naturally, your other than conscious mind begins to automatically create powerful imagery inside, but not just images in the sense of seeing pictures, but images in the sense of having full sensory experiences like feelings and sounds and scents. You can create very powerful experiences. And when you talk about your life and you use these patterns, you become much more fascinating and much more interesting to listen to. When you talk to people about their experiences, and you begin to elicit their values and how those things relate to what you're talking about. You can use your language to begin to match them together and create very, very powerful, for lack of a better word, fantasies, but they're fantasies that are based on a mutual desire to share information and to become more connected. So you can literally guide people. On one level, in normal conversations, you can become very, very fascinating. You can create powerful connections with people, deep levels of trust and intimacy very, very quickly. On a more intimate level, once you've progressed through various stages of the relationship, let's say you're in an intimate encounter, which in using the other processes that we teach you in stealth hypnosis, you can take the woman of your choice on the most amazing, romantic, erotic thrill ride she's ever even considered. Most women have a ton of fantasies that they read in these books, but they never seem to be able to live out. If you really want to understand some of the stealth languaging, go look at how some of these romance novels are actually written. They're actually written using a lot of the stealth patterns that we teach, which makes them so compelling.
You've brought up some very interesting things, including some of the key things that really attract us ladies to you men. And I'll let you in on a little secret, because I have to admit I'm breaking the woman's code book a little bit here, but it's a sacrifice for the greater cause, I think. As women, we love, I mean, absolutely love a man with charisma and confidence and charm. But the truth of the matter is that a lot of guys drop that ball and they instead come across as weird or sleazy or egotistical or a bundle of all of that. So how can hypnosis help guys keep this in balance when approaching us, so that we do wind up wanting more of them? I mean, you just touched on it a few moments ago, but tell me a little bit more about how they can use this hypnosis and the techniques to balance it out.
Well, that's a very, very good question. And I'm going to go back to what we talked about at the beginning of our interview today, was we talked about hypnosis as a process that bypasses the critical factor and creates a state of acceptable selective thinking. We also talked about it being any process that leads to trance. On a more functional level, anytime you can capture and lead somebody's imagination, you gain powerful levels of rapport with them, powerful levels of intimacy, and you become extremely pleasant to be around. Now, the other side of capturing and leading the imagination isn't always the language patterns that you're using, but the kinds of questions that you ask a woman, because by asking her certain types of questions in the right order and sequence, her mind will go to certain places in her life and certain levels of experience, and as she answers those questions, she'll begin to experience a certain level of comfort, intimacy, chemistry, and connection with you, and you'll automatically become more charismatic. And it's not so much this part of the process that we teach in Stealth is called the three magic questions. And it's a process that's completely ethical, completely honest. It was originally designed for women to screen out the good men. I had to tweak it a little bit for guys. But when you use these three magic questions, and by asking certain types of questions, you can move from complete stranger to deep intimacy connection bordering on love in as little as 20 minutes, because you're creating an interaction where a woman feels comfortable talking about the thing that's most important to her, which is her life, her passions, her joys, where she wants to go. And as she continues to do this, she starts to give you more and more of her inner world. She starts to give you more and more information about what's important to her as a human being. And because of this kind of approach to asking non-threatening, non-manipulative questions, you come across as a tremendously charismatic, interesting conversationalist. And when in fact, the less you say, the longer she talks, the more attractive you become.
Wow. So I just want to go back to something. You said that this could borderline on love within 20 minutes using hypnotic techniques.
Well, it's not hypnotic techniques in the sense of I'm going to swing a watch at you or beat you over the head with a cell phone.
Right.
But it is a hypnotic technique in the sense that it's based on understanding that every human being on the planet Mirabelle is a walking trance machine. Trances, as I'm discussing them, are the natural human experience. Every emotional state that we experience, okay, every whether it's a good one or a less than good one, is a trance. Okay, I don't know if you've ever played a game called Punch Buggy. Have you ever played it?
No, okay. I've never even heard of that. What's that?
It's a rather violent game that adolescent boys tend to play.
Okay, so that would explain why.
I'm going to get a little bit scientific on you, then I'm going to come back to the punch buggy analogy so we can understand how this all fits together, if that's okay.
Okay.
Okay, so first of all, everybody, have you ever heard of a show called Lie to Me?
No, I haven't heard of that.
It only ran for three seasons. It was about this world-class expert in lie detection. So he could read your face and know when you were lying. Well, that show was based on a real-life individual by the name of Paul Ekman, who is credited as being one of the world's leading authorities on emotions in the face. He wrote a book called Emotions Revealed, okay? And in that book, he talks about something called the emotional refractory period. Now, maybe you've had this experience, maybe some of your listeners have had this experience, where you've gotten in an argument with somebody, and you go through the argument process, and you, quote, resolve the process, but yet, for the next 10, 15, 20 minutes after the argument has been resolved, anything you say tends to set that person off again. Have you ever noticed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Welcome to the wonderful world of the emotional refractory period. What does this really mean? Any emotional state you experience, first, it's a trance. But second of all, it seeks to keep surviving in the body. It's like a little life form. So anytime you have an emotional shift, first of all, you never realize you've had an emotional shift until you're in it. You don't get like a 10-second warning saying, wait, you're about to get pissed off. No, it doesn't happen that way. You're five, you know, you're on a five, on a 0 to 10 scale, you're on a 5 before you realize you're suddenly angry. But what's happened outside of your conscious awareness, Mirabelle, is that emotional state changes what you consciously pay attention to. It changes what you consciously focus on. And because that emotional state wants to keep surviving, it will tweak what you pay attention to so that you only focus on the elements of any situation or information being discussed that re-triggers or reinforces the state. So it'll de-emphasize certain aspects of your experience while emphasizing others. That's the effect of the emotional refractory period. When you, coming back to this whole punch buggy analogy, and I'll give you another one where you can relate to this. Punch buggy is a silly game that adolescent boys tend to play. Like, it was usually done with Volkswagen Beetles. And basically what they would do is they would say, okay, anytime you see a Volkswagen Beetle, the first one to see it has to yell punch buggy, and if they do it first, they get to give the other guy a sock in the arm. Okay? So okay. They're driving along, and you would every now and then out of the blue, you'd hear someone go, punch buggy, and whack, right? And then they would continue on this way, right? But then something interesting would happen. Even after you're done playing the game, for the next 10, 15, 20 minutes, you would start seeing Volkswagen Beetles everywhere. Because your nervous system has changed its perceptual filters.
Ah.
Right? Now, I'm sure at some point you've bought a new car.
I was just about to say, it's kind of like you never, ever notice how many, say, Camrys are on the road until you buy one. And then it seems like everyone has that exact same model of car. So is that along the same lines?
Give that girl 5 stars.
Ding, ding, ding.
Now, back to this process of the 3 magic questions. When you begin these processes, you're starting because you need to come from a place of sincerity with this, because women have great bullshit detectors. But if you can come from a place of absolute sincerity and a desire to know more about the woman you're interacting with, and you go through this process, every time she answers a category of questions, she opens up a certain set of emotions, i.e. trance states. And those states change how she perceives the interaction with you. Just like when you saw all the Camrys and the Toyotas. Because she's seeing, you've heard the saying, seeing through the eyes of love, right?
Right.
What does that really mean? Or if on a more masculine term, beer goggles, right?
Right.
the emotional states that we're in change our perceptions. They change what we consciously pay attention to and what we consciously ignore. By asking the 3 magic questions combined with the language patterns we teach in Stealth, you're creating a set of emotional states in the woman that lead to enhanced intimacy, connection, trust, and ultimately love. While at the same time, you're gathering powerful information that's specific to her that allows you to deepen your communication in such a way that she feels completely understood, completely gotten. And that is one of the biggest challenges that many relationships have. I just did a program 2 nights ago. We call it Renegade Romance, Hypnotic Attraction Secrets for Dating, Mating, and Relating. And it was a co-ed audience. And when I started outlining what certain behaviors mean on a gender-by-gender basis, they were astonished at how off they were and what they thought the other side was communicating. So, and one of the biggest ones is that When a man talks to a woman or a woman talks to a man, you often hear this phrase, he just doesn't get me, right?
That's true.
Well, if you understand 3 magic questions and you understand how the language patterns we teach in Stealth all come together, every woman you communicate with will feel like they're being gotten at a deep, deep level. And then it just gets – then that attraction, that chemistry, that connection just gets stronger and it gets linked to you because you're the one – that's kind of guiding her through this process by letting her talk about the things that are most important to her.
Now, that is some really, really, really good stuff. I can't say that enough. But one of the interesting things that you say about hypnosis is that it's not just about snagging a girl, but it can also help in other areas of the life as well. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, once you understand, in Stealth, we spend a lot of time talking about the neurological underpinnings of communication. So we learn to understand, and it's a very, very simple course. That's the irony of it. It sounds very complicated, but it's actually very, very easy once you have a few basic principles. But once you understand how the genders communicate, how they process language, then you gain the ability to rapidly tweak how you talk to a woman and how you interpret what she's telling you to be more effective, to make communication easier, smoother, and far more pleasurable. That's the beauty of Stealth, is that the primary tenet is to move through the world making everyone around you feel tremendously good. because when they do, they just want to give you stuff. Now, in terms of relationship work, this goes to resolving conflicts. It goes to criteria and values, how to make a woman feel completely loved, appreciated, sexy, willing to experiment with new things. On a more outside of, of course, if you get into the more of the more intimate issues like bedroom and talking about fantasy, you talk about erotic talk. The stealth patterns allow you to take whatever erotic experience you're sharing with her and amplify it and amplify it and amplify it. In fact, if you use the hypnotic language properly, you can actually program a woman's nervous system to have more intense orgasms every time she makes love.
All right. So I know that many, many guys' ears just peaked up at that moment. So you're saying that those same techniques can, say, help a guy land that prime job or get that friend to give them one of their prized possessions based on those techniques and really tapping into those things that help connect and bridge the parties.
The stealth system is designed to be what we call cross-contextual influence. It works in the classroom, the boardroom, the bedroom, the courtroom, pretty much any place. It works through texting. It works through email. It works through instant messages. I can't give you too much information, but I have a cadre of lawyers all over the country who come to me for very, very special private trainings on advanced influence skills, much of which is derived are a derivative of the stealth process. I recently had two of my clients win a $172 million lawsuit.
Wow!
Utilizing many of the technologies that we teach, that the stealth system is derived from. I have clients who are, they've gone out and gone on job interview and nailed job interview after job interview after job interview, even when they weren't qualified for the jobs. It's a very powerful process because it teaches you several things. It teaches you how to find out what every human being's emotional hot buttons are, the things that make their reality that constitute what's right and natural for any context. If you're going to see somebody for a job, there's a series of questions that we ask that automatically bring up the most important attributes and how that person knows that they're getting those attributes. So, and utilizing the stealth patterns, you link what's most important to that person to you as a human being in such a way that it completely engages them at a deep neurological level. It activates their imagination, and they just start seeing movies of you and them doing the things that are most important to them, and they just get tremendously excited about working with you. When you can connect what people's most intense emotional desires are to what you offer in any format, in any context, they will, as a rule, do business with you or interact with you out of default and be tremendously loyal to you afterwards.
I know that this has really gotten some listeners very interested in a topic that we don't really often think of, especially on the level that we've talked about it today, in helping to snag the woman of their dreams all the way to landing a job and all this other great stuff that you want. It's like almost like a law of attractions. Today, our guest has been relationship and sexuality expert David Van Erik. Again, his system is the stealth hypnosis system. David, this has been such an interesting conversation and definitely a new perspective for you guys to hook us. It's like another tool in your toolbox. Before we go, though, tell us a little bit more about the stealth hypnosis system.
I'll just run quickly through basically the title and a brief synopsis of each of the videos in the crash course that we are offering. The first two videos teach you what we call the Magnificent Seven plus or minus two. These are the seven key hypnotic language patterns that people cannot resist even when they know you're doing it. And I even challenge audiences with those just to show them that even though they know I'm doing it to them, their brain still does what I tell it. It pretty much turns anything you say into an irresistibly compelling, fun to listen to, enjoyable, charismatic hypnotic induction. It just makes you tremendously pleasurable to listen to, and it just dramatically reduces any resistance to your persuasion or to your influence in any context. The next video that we go into is called emotional hot buttons or emotional triggers. And basically that's about learning how to tap into and discover the emotional values, the things that people desire most on an emotional and identity level, and how to link what you do to them in such a way that they're automatically getting everything they want by doing what you want. Then we take you into what we call the Three Magic Questions Protocol. The Three Magic Questions Protocol is a conversational framework that's designed to take you from complete stranger to deep level intimacy, trust, and connection in as little as 20 minutes. Now, it was originally designed for a romantic context. It was designed primarily for women to help sort out good men from the bad ones and attract them. I had to tweak it a little bit so guys could use it with women with equal success. But then the enterprising guys in my classes started taking that romantic generated protocol and translating it into business protocols, to the point where now I've got lawyers using them in jury selection. I've got them literally using the Three Magic Questions protocol to gain deep rapport to recruit new clients. But the most interesting story I've had was when one of my lawyers went to court, and he was interviewing an expert witness for the opposition, and utilizing the Three Magic Questions, the expert witness actually started siding with him instead of the guy who brought him in the first place. Okay. After that, we go into what we call the flirt factor, or the seven stages of arousal. I call it the mating dance. There are seven key body language stages that, as people move from complete stranger to intimacy, they just go through, and it's hardwired into every human being on the planet. In any male-female interaction, you're going to see these various body language stages. So once you know what those seven stages are, you know exactly what to do at every stage of the interaction, from a cold approach to getting them ready to come back to your place. You know exactly what to do at what moment. If you don't know that, it's hit or miss. But it's very straightforward, and there's actually a demo that I do where I actually bring a woman up out of the audience. And as I'm talking about these seven stages and modeling them with her, you actually see her starting to fall in love with me as a result of just being in the postures. I kept it because it was just – and the women in the audience were cheering. One woman said, "This is the best chick flick I've ever seen." But it's that powerful if you understand how physiologies and body language really changes our perceptual filters and puts us in different types of trances. Then we're going to teach you instant and rapid inductions. This is more of an overt hypnosis. This teaches you the principles that underline any and all speed inductions. You ever see somebody in a hypnosis show or out at a party just walk up and go, "Sweep!" And the guy just bails and just goes completely into a trance. We're going to teach you the principles that underline how to make up any number of those. Last but not least, as I like to call it, is what we call solid gold inner game. Solid gold inner game is all about getting your head right. It's all about finding out where your limiting beliefs are, how to deal with them, and how to replace them with the attitudes and the beliefs that empower you, make you feel strong, confident, playful, curious, and victorious. It's basically how to give yourself a checkup from the neck up so that your head is in the right place and you can just become the kind of person who radiates confidence, sincerity, and charisma wherever you go.
This sounds like a very comprehensive system. MeetYourSuite.com listeners, you can find David's Stealth Hypnosis System at www.meetyoursuite.com/podhypnosis. Again, that's meetyoursuite.com/podcast hypnosis. David, again, thank you for joining us and for taking the time to really break down the foundation to what hypnosis is and what it isn't. To all you meetyoursuite.com listeners, thanks again for joining us for another edition of our Relationship Help Podcast. I'm Mirabelle Summers. Until the next time, be well.